Welcome to the Plain Label Podcast, episode 80.
Well, well. What a glittering assemblage, King Stefan. Royalty, nobility, the gentry, and how quaint. Even the rebel.
I must say, I really felt quite distressed at not receiving an invitation.
You're not welcome here.
Oh dear, what an awkward situation.
Is she having one of those days?
Don't talk about what you don't understand.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm being insensitive. I'm the one who just took a call from my spouse while I was with my lover.
That was stupid, I'm sorry.
It's the most overused word in your vocabulary.
Anna, I really need you to stop attacking me.
If you needed that, you wouldn't be with me.
I left her 2 weeks ago.
What did you tell her?
That I had fallen in love with someone else.
Me? That you love me? I thought you loved her. That's what you've always said.
I do.
So this is the way you treat someone you love? You don't even know what the word means.
Anna,
don't touch me. Do you think I care? Do you think I could ever love someone as deceitful as you? This was not the deal. Now you're going to go and find someone and f*** around on me.
Stop this.
Did you tell her who I was? Did you?
No.
I'm going to my room. Thanks for the notes.
I see a white house in Belgravia. 16. Wilton Crescent. A piano.
Yes, that's all correct and rather amazing. But I don't buy it, because I'm a rational man who believes in a rational world. Any other way lies madness.
You'd be happier if I was a fraud, because then your whole fixed worldview wouldn't be shaken up.
No, it's quite the opposite. If you knew how much I don't want you to be a fake.
Oh, but think how embarrassing it would be for you. Your whole life, you spent publicly crusading against spiritualism, and then you'd have to come out with it and say that you were wrong.
But I'm not wrong.
I'm having a drink with my dinner. Anybody else have a problem with that?
Samantha?
No.
Mindy?
No.
I didn't think so. You don't like me much, do you, Mason? That's okay, I don't like me either. Think that's funny, huh? Think that's fucking funny? What's the matter, you feeling left out? Clean it up, goddammit, clean it up. Squash.
Hello and welcome to the Plain Label Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Williams, and along with me is my good friend and co-host, Rachel Zelag.
Hiyo!
In this episode, we are saying goodbye to the movies we missed theme, and saying goodbye to our fabulous guest hosts these past few months. So for one final time, we are joined by Miss Annelle Strauss.
Hello!
And by Katie Cruz.
Cheers!
In this episode, we are discussing the films Maleficent, Third Person, Magic in the Moonlight, and Boyhood. Before getting into our discussion, we would like to mention that we are proud members of the Deliberate Noise Network. Head over to deliberatenoise.com and check out some of the other shows that are over there. So, in case you haven't been able to tell, this is a rare occurrence, a second time occurrence, right, Cruz? Because we did the Strange Brew.
Yeah, we did.
In person. But the four of us are all together in our living room.
Touching.
Two of them, definitely. Three of them, definitely.
Holding hands.
So while we're doing that, the tomfoolery, what are we having? Strauss, you were the bartender. What is it that we're all having?
We're having mules.
Mules!
What kind of mules?
Moscow mules. Vodka.
So they're like mules. That's Russian.
That's Russian, guys.
Thanks.
Nah. You're really good at the
Russian
thing.
We put the vodka in the beer and made it. Fuck you guys.
I mean, it is Svedka, so I guess.
I guess.
There you go.
Isn't Svedka Swedish?
Yeah, it is.
Oh, there. Well, see?
It's a very eclectic, ethnic mule.
So there we go. Completely thrown off. So that's what we're all having, so we can kick off our discussion. And it was a May 30th. Release. This is Katie's pick, and it is Maleficent.
Well, well. I shall bestow a gift on the child.
Before the sun sets on her 16th birthday, she will fall into a sleep like death!
Curious little beastie. Bring her to me.
I know you're there. Don't be afraid.
I am not afraid.
Then come out.
Then you'll be afraid.
All the other fairies fly. And why don't you?
I had wings once. They were strong. But they were stolen from me. There is evil in this world. Hatred. And revenge.
Bring me her head.
I call on those who live in the shadows. Fight with me now.
Is it true? Are you Maleficent?
A beautiful, pure-hearted young woman, Maleficent, has an idyllic life growing up in a peaceful forest kingdom, until one day, when an invading army threatens the harmony of the land, Maleficent rises to be the land's fiercest protector, but she ultimately suffers a ruthless betrayal, an act that begins to turn her pure heart to stone. Bent on revenge, Maleficent faces a battle with the invading king's successor, and as a result, places a curse upon his newborn infant, Aurora. As the child grows, Maleficent realizes that Aurora holds the key to peace in the kingdom, and perhaps to Maleficent's true happiness as well. So, explain this one to me, little Cruz.
Well, Sleeping Beauty, obviously. We had watched this a bajillion times growing up.
By the way, I feel like this is going to be hard for me to be as confrontational in
good
person.
It is.
Not this me. Is
gonna
it's be, actually going to be easier.
This is
going to
be awesome. I like seeing you like...
I'm just going...
Just put your notes up and then
yeah.
Talk.
Yeah, there we go.
Don't pretend like I can't see you.
By the way, I died of fire.
And yeah. I don't like it.
anyway, so I picked this because I remember seeing the previews for it. And thinking that, and this was like way back when they sort of started introducing it and long before they had actually put it out.
Yeah, when they were teasing it with yeah. just the picture of Angelina
like,
Jolie.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, yeah.
And so I was like, oh my god, but that's really good. And then I sort of had the understanding of all of the other awful redos they did of all the Disney ones that have just tanked. And I didn't watch it because I kind of had that impression of it, and I don't know, but I'm glad I picked it because I wanted to get that under my belt. But I love Sleeping Beauty. I needed to say this.
Hmm.
Needed to happen.
Rachel, what did you think of it? Well, I guess what did you think of it overall? Like, you were glad that you saw it, but what did you make of it?
I mean, I didn't. I think especially because I didn't have the highest expectations. I liked it. It was okay. It wasn't the greatest thing ever. The like imagery of it was awesome. I want to go wherever they filmed it in this enchanted little land.
I'm guessing Ireland or something.
Or computers. Probably. I don't know. I liked that they took a story and kind of fleshed it out into another type of story, but kept sort of the storyline-ish in the middle part at least, but, I liked how it ended. I thought that was I called it at the beginning of the movie. We watched it together.
Mm. Which was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Which is weird now that you guys have the same sort of, like, vibe feeding off of each other that we usually do.
Yeah, that's what we always have.
So, I do that thing where I'll be like, oh, I bet this happens. I'm that asshole person.
I do that too.
The movie theater. I'm like, Brad, that one's gonna die first.
Right.
Just so I can be like...
But, yeah, I pretty much called everything to the cutting off the wings, the betrayal, the true love's kiss,
spoilers.
All that shit, so... Oh my god, really? Sorry.
Spoilers for Adolf.
Yeah. All right, your turn.
Take Cruiser, what'd you think?
Didn't think it was as magically delicious as my counterpart over here. It basically did, like, I did... You know, because I like seeing movies like that, too. Like, Wicked and all that good stuff. Like, that's always fun to see the other side of that. I think that stems from The Stinky Cheese Man, to be honest with you. Do you remember that book?
Of course.
And they had, like, the Big Bad Wolf's, like, other side. Where he, like, told his story. And I was like, totally. Oh my god, this is amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So, I remember that. What's that author's name? Gregory L. Lang? Is that wrong?
Oh, The Wicked one?
Yeah.
And Mirror Mirror?
Yeah. And the Cinderella.
Yeah. He didn't, anyway. So I pretty much knew what I was getting myself into, and I said, like, right off the bat, I'm like, this is totally made for little kids, because, like, she's narrating, like, she was a nice girl that lived in a tree, and I'm like, oh, Jesus, like, I don't know, but...
It was very much like a story.
Right, well, it was for little kids, so I get it. I didn't hate it, and I'm glad that I watched it. I probably won't bother giving it a rewatch or anything.
Sure.
But
yep.
Well, we watched this with the little one.
And she's seen it 3 times before, and she wants to own it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, of course. So I will be rewatching it.
Yeah.
Not by choice.
And she was really all about it, which, I don't know, it's not, I think it's for little kids, I guess, but I can't ever understand, like, who it's actually for.
Right, because there are
it's like little princesses.
A little violent for a while.
Yeah, it's like not for little girls that are thinking about like, oh, I want to be Aurora because she's kind of a waste. Like, she doesn't really do much.
Yeah,
right?
That's why it's kind of legit, though.
Yeah.
Like, nobody wants to be a fucking Disney princess anymore.
But then it's not really for boys either. I mean, they try to put some of the action stuff with the fucking Lord of the Rings guys, the Ents. That they basically just say, oh, we'll just make it for kids and, you know. So... I was kind of confused, like, who it was for.
Right, that makes sense.
And I didn't love it, not surprisingly. Right. And
nobody died at the end.
Nobody died.
Well, some people died in the movie, at least. Soldiers that were fighting.
Okay.
What's his name? Fell off the
Oh, yeah, he fell off and died.
The king.
The king.
Oh,
Stefan.
Sharpville Copley, who was...
King Stefan.
District 9. That's all I could think
of.
Yeah,
he's not good. Like, he was in... District 9 sequel with Jodie Foster.
There was a sequel?
No, I mean, sorry, the film that he did after District 9 with Matt Damon, and it's the white guy's gotta save all the brown kids. What's that movie? Elysium.
Yes.
Yeah,
it was like
a Jesus thing where it was, you know, he's the only white guy and he's gotta save all the brown people. It was ridiculous. It was terrible.
District 9 was legit though.
Yeah, District 9 was good. And then he did
Chappie.
Yeah, the guy that did that's doing Chappie, and he's also doing the next Alien movie.
Seriously.
So anyway, so it wasn't for me. I thought Sharpville Copley was really bad. I thought that Angelina Jolie was Angelina Jolie.
Mm-hmm.
So she was
in a pretty,
yeah. Yeah, she was exactly what they paid her to do.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, it wasn't offensive. Right. It wasn't like, this fucking thing is so bad. You know, it wasn't like that, but it was...
a Disney movie.
Yeah, it was... Yeah. It was real surfacey in Disney, and a lot of like, I don't give a shit about these fairies and all their stupidness.
Oh, I was so disappointed in them too. Because the best part of Sleeping Beauty is when the fairies make the cake. The dress.
Yeah,
we watched them go into the cottage, and it was like run down, and they made a comment saying, "This is where we're gonna live." And I looked at Rachel and said, "This is gonna be the best part. This is gonna
be great.
Like they're gonna come in and make this cottage beautiful and make the cake." And that didn't fucking happen. Nope.
Yeah, but that was a big bummer.
We did have the bad girl from Potter, though. What's her name?
Professor Umbridge.
Yeah, Candy. Umbridge.
Yeah.
Her face creeped me out.
As the fairy. They all did. By the way, that was Hocus Pocus, to be fair.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
The dumb blonde one and Hocus Pocus. And then the Bettmiddler. And then the one on the back.
She didn't have the
she didn't have the lipstick though.
I know.
Yeah, if everybody can see my face right now.
I know. I don't remember her name.
Maybe like lookalike.
The fat one on the vacuum. Yeah.
Strauss, what did you think of this overall? I know leading you into this, you had problems with some of the visuals, and it made me think of that when Katie had mentioned the landscape of it, like some of the CGI.
Oh yeah, like when Angelina Jolie's flying up in the clouds. It just looked like very like, okay, you're holding me on my strings.
Yeah. You know? Oh yeah. And like, let's get the fans in here.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but I don't know how much better you could make that.
Right.
So that's fine. I had a lot of fun watching the first half I watched with Anna and seeing how into it she was. You know, like I was into it too. And then when she went to bed, I had to finish it, of course. And that wasn't as fun. It was just kind of like an adult watching it by myself. And I had nobody's, like, little face to light up.
I was just like... And I wasn't there. Like, I wasn't...
Oh, my God.
I wasn't there going, this is so dumb, isn't it? You know, I wasn't doing that.
So I just had me and my own opinions, and I was like, yeah, it was all right.
Yeah, it wasn't...
It wasn't horrible, but... I mean, I'm just preparing myself to watch it again and again.
Sorry. I couldn't understand.
Oh, it's
like...
okay. She liked it before you offered it.
Did she, like, just PMS to the point that everything turned black?
Yeah.
Because, like, when she was angry-eyes, like, the whole, like, Eden or whatever was, like, black. And, I mean, that was just one person's mood. She's really frightening.
I know.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's
her
power. Like, she's that powerful.
That's why when, like, she got her wings clipped, I'm like, God, it really doesn't matter. Like, go blast.
Yeah, but then she couldn't fly anymore.
She probably could have made some kind of spell to make her fly.
Well, and what surprised me was, like, when she was burned by the iron, she immediately healed. You can't just, like, I don't know, chameleon the wings back onto your body.
Right. Right. Or, like, turning a bird into a man and you can't figure you can't out how put to, like, wings on your body.
Or just go get them out of the castle.
Like, leave them
in the castle. They were, like, next to a window.
She could just fly in and find them.
She has
the bird
come in and then she just kicks the window in that they're in front of and goes and gets them.
Okay, yeah. So Sleeping Beauty was the Grimm Brothers thing, right?
Brothers Grimm.
Sorry.
I have the original, we read the story.
Was this in any way part of that story?
No, the story is almost the same as Sleeping Beauty.
As the movie. As the original. They don't say anything about a Maleficent. They say, like, it's either the 10th or the 12th fairy. There wasn't enough gold plates to invite all of them, so one of them didn't get invited, which ends up being Maleficent or whatever. So they have this big ball for Sleeping Beauty when she's born, and... She ends up coming in and putting a curse on her. And then she does sleep for 100 years. So,
yeah, she sleeps for 100 years.
So when all the princes come in, and so it's just this fairy tale of this princess that's locked in there. When this prince finally is like, this prince is finally like, well, I'm going to go find her. It's the 100th day or the 100th year day. He walks up to the castle and just everything, you know, the
spell's over.
Yeah, and so there is, like, the rose bushes all around.
Yeah.
And there's, like, dead men in all of them. Mm-hmm. Like, they just open for him. And he just walks up and kisses her. Yeah. You know, so he doesn't have to be heroic at all.
He's just a guy that's like, oh, hey, I heard that
there's a... He just happens to hear the story,
and
it's the 100th year.
Right. So it's basically about a bitch who didn't get invited, and she was pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's, like,
she either tweeted that she was angry.
She's like, hashtag really upset. Yeah.
I'm going to rant this on Facebook.
So Maleficent is from is from that.
Yeah, it's Maleficent, the name. It's a nameless
fairy that doesn't get invited to the party.
Weird. I like how they did this story, though. I think I think that's what I liked the most. I didn't necessarily love how it was done, but like the Sleeping Beauty character was like super blah and not really
because it wasn't called Sleeping Beauty.
I know, but at the same time, like she loved her in the end. Like it was like true love. Right, like she felt like she protected her, and I feel like I sort of missed that like latching on period of time. Technically,
this is what latching means.
Anyway,
you mean if they would have had some like witty banter and like been like fucking around, it would have been way more believable.
Like share a couple of shots of fireball together. I don't know.
You know, like called her little beast, right?
And
beastie.
We decided that beastie. We wanted to call our children Future beastie. Children.
Beastie.
Yeah.
Beastie. That was fun. Pretty
cool. Interesting.
Beastie yeah, I back. Like that. I've read the original like stories and then seeing these and like this is
yeah.
Like
oh, it. Yeah. Having the backstory where you can like harumph about things is like the best thing ever.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you have seen
except
Wicked
for the Giver. I don't
want to
talk about
those.
The Giver
books, technically, that they are.
Have
you seen Giver?
No.
So, like Wicked, they did Wicked, which was The Wizard of Oz.
What about the
They
Wiz?
Did Mirror Mirror, which was
not
Snow White.
Okay,
and
I've seen Mirror Mirror.
What was the stepsister one? The Ugly Stepsister?
Yeah.
Which was Cinderella. And it was basically the story of the villains of all those Disney movies.
Right.
But how it glorifies them and how the person that's actually,
they, like, came
like, the
to
princess
become
are
that.
Awful.
Okay. Yeah.
So I felt
like Wicked's the most famous,
for sure.
Obviously.
Yeah.
And it like, tells, like, her whole story. Mm-hmm.
But that was basically what they did. Took that idea.
Nice. Are you guys looking forward to Cinderella?
No.
No.
I am looking forward to Beauty and the Beast, though.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because it's Emma Watson.
I haven't heard about that yet.
Yeah. I, like, auditioned, but they said I was too pretty, so...
Oh, my God.
Like, super awkward.
You are too pretty and too talented to
right.
be in this movie.
You know, what's fun is I get extra credit for going to Cinderella and writing a one-page paper on how it relates to the original story for my children's lit class.
Oh, weird.
So that'll be nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess I thought it was in May. Is it coming out in March?
It's March.
Oh. I was going to say, that doesn't
Who's
work.
Who's Cinderella again?
It's not anybody
it's
that
not,
I know.
It's a pretty blonde.
Of course.
We could Google it quick.
I've got it here. IMDb.
He's got it on bookmark Cinderella. So, like, you guys excited about Cinderella? Because I'm not.
I'm not excited.
I've got it.
I mean, like, if you wanted to go, I would go, but...
I guess I can invite you, Eric.
It is... Lily James is who plays Cinderella. Haley Atwell, who is from Agent Carter, and she was the British woman in the first Captain America movie. That
oh, yeah.
She plays her mother.
And Kate Blanchett is the
And did you see who the fairy godmother is?
Oh, of course. Is this a...
Who is it?
Helena Bonham Carter from several things.
Mm. Oh my God, Game of Thrones.
Oh,
nice.
Oh yeah, Jon Snow.
No, it's not Jon Snow.
Beatrix
Potter.
It's King of the North!
Yeah,
it's other person
it's
from Game of Thrones I don't know.
Jon Snow is the only name I can really
I don't...
Down.
We've never
So what
seen
about Sleeping...
That.
Or what about
Beauty and the Beast?
Beauty and Beast.
It's
Emma
Watson.
Mm.
Who I am, like, totally behind. The only other person that I would allow to play Belle is Natalie Portman.
Oh, she's getting too old now, though, isn't she?
Right, that's why Emma Watson did it.
Oh, there you go.
Mm. All right,
do we have
anything stole
else
her
about
shit.
This?
I don't have
no,
anything
no,
else.
No, nothing
no.
else?
No.
All
no,
right.
That one's good.
Okay, we're going to move on to Annelle's pick, and it is from June 20th, in case people want to be specific. And it is called Third Person.
You should be writing about me. Are you?
I write about what I know.
And you know me.
Supposed to be about a man who can only feel through the characters he creates, but it keeps trying to be something else.
Is she there?
No.
Hi, Daddy. I miss you.
My daughter. You have kids?
Girl, I don't see her 2 years.
I'm sorry for staring. Very hard not to.
We just need to convince the judge that you're stable enough to get visitation again.
What do you want, Julia?
I need to be able to touch him. He is my son.
Grant.
Yeah.
Don't say that. This is Daddy's work.
Yeah. Watch me.
I need you to look at what you did. I need you to face what you can't face. And I need you to tell me the truth.
Will you help me? No questions.
Tell me. Tell me that you did it.
Do you know how long she talked about showing you how she could swim?
She was always trying to get your attention.
All you had to do was watch her, and you couldn't even do that.
I know how to forgive myself.
Come home.
Please.
Begging?
Come with me.
Where?
Anywhere. I'm never gonna let you see him again.
No, you said it!
No!
Love.
It's people you don't have time for.
Michael is a Pulitzer Prize-winning fiction author who has holed himself up in a hotel suite in Paris to finish his latest book. He recently left his wife and is having a tempestuous affair with an ambitious young journalist who wants to write and publish fiction. At the same time, a shady American businessman is in Italy to steal designs from fashion houses. Hating everything Italian, he meets Monica, a woman who is about to be reunited with her young daughter. Julia, an ex-soap opera actress, is caught in a custody battle for her 6-year-old son with her ex-husband Rick, a famous New York artist. With her support cut off and her legal costs ruinous, Julia is reduced to working as a maid in the same upscale boutique hotel where she was once a frequent guest. Julia's lawyer, Teresa, has secured Julia one final chance to change the court's mind and be reunited with the child she loves. Rick's current girlfriend, Sam, is a compassionate onlooker. I like how it just starts listing things after a while instead of wrapping up with the exact...
Wow, I mean, like, that was basically the movie. Do you guys have anything to add?
No. It seriously was.
I know.
It was everything that you needed to know. By the way, did you notice that Strauss and I didn't take any notes for Maleficent? We were, like, 3/4 of the way through, and it was just like...
We didn't take notes either. We were laying like, in bed.
No.
We did laying in bed.
There was nothing really to be like, oh, at this point, I gotta make sure and highlight this.
I didn't take anything for third person. Well, but I remember it well enough.
All right.
Yeah, we watched it.
I took, I took notes.
I think you did.
Yeah. Oh, okay, I did. All right, so Strauss, why did you pick this?
I picked it because it was on a trailer for...
Only Lovers Left Alive.
Yes.
Oh, nice.
And that's that and Magic in the Moonlight.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Yeah, so like, obviously that movie did something for us. Picked other movies.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
If any
favorite.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Tilda Swinton.
Tilda Twitch.
Oh, Twitch.
The Tilda Twitch.
She's good. So what did you think of it, Strauss? This is funny because this is another one that we didn't watch all up together, did we?
No.
Did we watch it? We didn't watch any of these all the way together. Oh, Magic in the Moonlight we did.
Yeah.
Right?
No, that you fell asleep.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say our schedules were all jacked up this week, so it was odd not to watch all of them.
On Mountain Dew.
Yeah.
I liked it.
Did you?
It was fun. At the end, we did talk about it. We were like, okay, what just happened?
Oh, right.
Who's doing what, and who's with who, and who's acting as someone else, and, mm-hmm. like, the storylines. So
right.
That was nice to, like, dialogue about what was going on. The scene that got me the most was, and I'm not good with all the actor names, so...
Mila Kunis.
Thank you. I was going to say from That 70s Show.
Right,
but
nice.
Mila Kunis, when she's being dragged and it's just music, and her little boy's running at her.
That pulled on all the feels for...
Like, out of the apartment?
It's when she's there and she's asking...
like, she tells the truth
James
about
Franco
what happened.
For, like, one more visit, and he says, sure, if she admits what she did, and she does, and he says, no, fuck you, get out of here.
Yeah.
Biatch. And then he's dragging her out, yeah, and she's pulling, and then
the kid comes in. About pushing on her, like,
no, I was just, oh, it just was like, and that's not what she did.
So I'm just saying, like,
we in a way. We for a reason, so.
Yeah. No, it's just like, what she must be feeling, like, even if she did do something wrong, and then what he must be feeling, and then to have the little boy there, and I just liked the scene, because it was like, there was no sound, it was just, like, music.
Right.
I don't know, it just made me cry.
Mm-hmm. It did, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure did.
Sure did.
Witness.
That's true, so we must have watched this. I don't know, there's a lot of drinking, a lot of sleeping.
It doesn't matter. It's fine.
Doesn't matter.
I will go next. I thought it was fun. I thought it was kind of just fun structurally.
Yeah.
Just because it's, you know, the whole, the whole writerly, story within a story kind of a thing. Like, mm-hmm, I thought that was kind of neat. I think
Rightception.
I think that it is very, very Paul Haggis-like, though, to where he
what
did...
What else had he done?
He
Crash?
He wrote and directed Crash.
Oh, that's right.
Which was, you know, especially around this time being around Oscar time, which is notorious for being an Oscar movie that should not have won. And so he's kind of that guy whose one hit was something that people kind of backlash against now.
Yeah.
And so he done, Jesus.
He done him wrong. He done did seven of
them. He has also directed the film In the Valley of Ella, which is a
movie Middle Eastern
Tommy Lee Jones movie. So he did that, and then he did, I think, just this. So he's not really in high demand for a guy that's won an Oscar, right?
Yeah.
Well, you know.
And so I felt like it was a lot of Crash, like, where it's their stock characters with hardly any depth. That's why there's so many storylines going on, because he doesn't know how to write.
And I was just characters thinking that while I was watching, I'm like, if this was its own movie, it would be boring as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to be fair, I thought it was boring as fuck.
Okay.
We watched this together. So, if I didn't take any notes, but if I had, it would have been just question marks on one on a piece of paper.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, if we wouldn't have talked about it afterwards, like what, who was what, and
fair enough,
who
yeah
was playing who.
Well, we gonna.
I would have just went to bed like, okay, I can't wait till we talk about this like with everyone, because I just didn't get it. But after Eric was saying like, well, after this story at the end when, like, he accepted her apology, then it went away.
Yeah, the
blah blah blah. And
right,
so I was
because
like, oh, because I thought that was like a young him, and I thought each character was like connected to him in some way.
I thought they were. Yeah,
you know, because
no,
like
no,
the...
he's just
wait, hold on.
I tell you all why you're wrong.
Yeah. Okay,
this
so
is why we're all sitting this way,
right? Yeah. So like,
I can make the chair higher too.
The lawyer. The lawyer, right?
Yeah, from Coyote Ugly.
Yes,
Maria Bello. Yeah, sure. The blonde.
I don't care what her name is. So, the lawyer is like, who is she?
The wife.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, which wife are you talking about?
Kim Basinger.
Kim Basinger from Batman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's the same person,
we
right?
We made that connection, yeah.
Okay.
She's, like, trying to sort of, like, pull for the fuck up.
Yeah.
But, like,
she lost her son.
Right. But at some point, it's just, like, you are so irresponsible that I cannot deal with you anymore.
Right. That's what I thought. They were, like, the same person. But older.
He just, like... Right, but... Like, and that's what I got from the beginning, like, sets it up with the crumpling of papers. So it's basically, like... He's taking all these shitty stories, and instead of just putting them in the back of the shelf where they should be, he made them into a movie, is kind of what I thought. Because, like, I have 72 stories that start like this. Like, this person's fucked up, this person loves them, and I'm like, nobody wants to see this. But this guy's like, screenplay.
Yeah, oh my god.
Eric's so mad. And he's like, I really like this movie.
No, I mean, I thought it was fine. It was just that, I mean, it... I want to make sure that we're all clear on what it is, though, right?
Well, I don't know. I felt like he basically wrote his life story, and
like his emotions about what happened into a few of the characters.
Right.
So like he was Mila Kunis in the other one, and then he was the gypsy lady in Italy or whatever.
Well, he was. Was he Adrian Brody or was he the foreign lady?
Yeah, I feel like he was the foreign person.
I'm gonna disagree.
Because the main character in that one is Adrian Brody. That's who we follow.
And the foreign lady is the one that's the good-hearted one.
Yeah, he had lost a child.
And Adrian Brody's the fuck-up.
Well, but, like, he also, like, in his...
Because he's the one who had the child drown.
Mm-hmm. Right. Which is the same as...
I mean, like, you see instances of him when he's interacting with Olivia fucking Wilde, who is literally wild in this film. Like, I could not follow her to save my life. But, shows compassion toward her and is kind of like, why are you treating me this way? Like, you see instances of that in their super effed up relationship already.
Okay.
So I don't know if that was, like, the one part of him that is good-hearted, maybe? I'm not sure. I was confused by all of this.
I was like, wait.
Mila Kunis got hired in the hotel.
And she wrote on that letter.
And I was like, wait, she's in Paris.
And that's also in New York.
Yeah, we had
a lot of
those moments.
And there are flowers everywhere.
But it's all just a story that he's writing, and he's not very good anymore.
Right,
so
right.
So that's why the things don't quite match,
that's what I'm
right?
saying. Like, okay. it's shit that he should
like,
publish.
You can see part of the artist's work in some of the other people's story mm-hmm. lines in the background. And you can... He's, like, trying to ram them all together and make it all work, but
right.
it doesn't quite,
mm-hmm.
which I think is part of the sort of character of the writer.
Right.
Sure.
But no, it could also be looked at as, oh, well, this fucking movie doesn't work.
Exactly.
Right? So it's kind of like a flawed premise because it's like,
maybe it's, like, symbolism of how he can't do it, so he makes
the writer
do it.
It could be Paul Haggis as the screenplay
Liam Neeson.
Writer and the director saying, I can't fucking make these movies work right. So I'm going to put that into this character who's putting that into these characters.
I feel like they should have like subtly given you a little bit more of that then.
Well,
like, because they say you're washed up and then she's like, I think you're great. And then there should have been more frustration on his part as far as the writing goes and
well,
not just Olivia
but he like
Wilde.
Met with that guy who...
Yeah,
tried to act
right.
like
there was a scene
it was sort of like brushed, and then was like super honest with him about
sure.
how.
Oh, when he
yeah.
said he was embarrassed to read it.
Yeah,
you're right.
Like,
that,
so I mean,
he
is like kind of sort of come to terms with the fact that he's not as great as he used to be. But again, he is in this love affair with this girl who thinks he's incredible and constantly tells him that. Like,
and so then that was that's what makes him great then, because he writes another story about his true affair and her affair with her father.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're like, oh, this is amazing.
Right. Well, right. But it, again, that's like a story in a story, though, because he's just writing that he's writing that.
Right. I know. I'm just saying, like, then
it's
in the end,
right-ception.
He gets to be good again.
Yeah.
I mean,
at least he thinks he's going to be good. At least he thinks that's a thing that's going to work. You know?
Well, and I wish, like, one of the things that I think sort of kind of brought everything together, like, hopefully trying to tie it, was, like, you know, they had the instance of writing down the phone number, and then in another story, mm-hmm. writing down the phone number, and then the flowers in one hotel room, and the flowers in the other one, and there's, like, a scene where, like, one of them's taking off her shirt, the next one is taking off her shirt.
Oh,
they like,
tried to mirror stuff.
Yeah,
yeah
so, like,
that's
all,
what I was...
So, like, they're trying to do that, but I wish that there was a lot more of that, almost, because I feel like the instances were so small, and
sort of,
like, if
I
you weren't paying attention, you would notice
connected
that.
Them.
Yeah, and so I feel like it would have been awesome had they, like, almost every scene switch done something that mirrors it to show that they're all supposed to be connected. Because
mm-hmm.
I was just like, I don't understand how they're all going
to
run together.
I mean, like,
at
some
not
point. Just mirrors, but, like, has the same, because, like, as, like, a writer, I feel like he was trying to write out his emotions, and so he just kept trying the same emotions out in different scenes.
Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
so, like, that's where he was, like, because, like, he was, like, trying to write to get over or to get it out, and so, like, it didn't necessarily have to mirror, but, like, I guess, like, if you think of it that way, like, trying to get those emotions out, like, getting over, a, you know, the death of a child, blah, 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 feeling like you're a constant pile of crap, I guess, like, I can see that in each one of those. And that's all I have. I thought I had more, but...
I do also like the way that they represent him being done with certain characters, to where they just kind of disappear. Mm-hmm. So you're in that scene, and instead of it saying, and she's never seen again, they just kind of disappear, and you don't see that world again.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, that's kind of clever. I didn't really put it together until the end.
Right.
And so I think if people are like, oh no, I knew it was all about the writer writing the whole time, I think they're full of it.
Like, pretentious ass. Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, I think it sparked a lot of debate. Like, we're obviously,
yeah,
proof mm-hmm. of that. But I think, yeah, I think if in the beginning, if they would have been like, oh, he's writing about these characters, then why the hell would you watch the rest of the movie?
Yeah.
Like,
right. Okay. If
it would have felt real safe then, because you're like, oh, well, they're just...
Yeah, and you're not trying to figure anything out when you're watching it. Like, I mean, yes, I was confused almost the whole time, but whatever.
How about figuring out that, okay, the crazy one?
You're going to need to be Olivia more specific. Olivia Wilde? Anna?
Sleep, yes.
Having
an affair with her father.
Oh.
Olivia Wilde?
Yeah, Olivia Wilde. Yeah. That was a big sticking point for Strauss. She was not pleased with that.
No, I did not have a good time after, like, seeing her go to his room and, like, they're having their little moment. And I was like, oh, man, she's, like, having her fling with another guy. But I guess she's not really with Liam, so
right.
Whatever. No big deal. And then it's like, oh, it's her father. And then so I was, like, replaying that scene in my head and I was like, oh, like, just, like, gross feelings in my stomach. Like,
but it explains, the best. Like, really?
It was a joke.
Wow. Obviously, did not go over well.
Like a turd in the punch bowl.
Like, well, somebody's got to be one.
Like, I was going to say it explains her behavior, but, like, I don't even think that does. Because, like, she was so random. Like, throwing the watch in the sink.
And then giving it to him.
Yeah.
Why is it
wet? Saying it's a little damp still or something.
But, like, that was, like, a point for her. She was like, meh.
Well, she, like, had it on, and she's, like, snuggling with the watch. And all of a sudden, she's, like,
fondling herself.
But she doesn't even, like, take it off. She, like angrily, like, rips it off her hand. And then,
well, and then there's, like,
she put it on tight in the first place.
Right.
Right.
Well, and then there, like, she has that moment where they have, like, one of the very few moments where they are compassionate toward each other. And then he, like, comes after her in the elevator, and she gets in the elevator, and she's like, oh my god, look, he cares. And she's, like, being such a hoe. You're like, I don't understand.
And, like, involving the other people.
I know, the
yes!
elevator.
Oh,
like,
my god.
What a bitch.
I would have just stood there and been like,
they'd be like, oh
my god.
American? Like,
circus. And by the way, anyone ever locked me out of my hotel room where I was
naked
again, there was no way I would be shriek giggling down the hallway.
No.
I'd be super embarrassed trying to hide behind a plant.
I'd all the be way breaking down the door.
Room, like, carrying the plant with you. Stop. Don't
she gets in bed and she's like almost euphoric about it.
Yeah.
I'm like,
she's like, oh, I just TV'd my best friend's house. Oh, that was so much fun.
Oh my god. Like, I knew right then there was something just
whatever.
Really not right
she
in her
psycho.
Head.
I feel like she was, I'm sticking with the same theme, I feel like she was just a poorly female written character from a male's point of view.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
Probably.
Like, she's doing all the cliche things
yeah,
that
as
girls
opposed
do.
To her being like, oh.
All the crazy bitch moves.
Olivia Wilde
that
just
we do,
super
right?
crazy bitch.
No.
Like, Olivia Wilde didn't perform this properly or
JK,
whatever. It's just,
bro.
I feel like it's more like she's playing the role that.
Oh, yeah. Liam I don't Neeson's think it was Olivia Wilde that was
yeah.
not. Performing. I think that she played whatever they had asked her to play just fine. It was, yeah. That actually makes sense that he was shittily writing a female character.
Yeah. You know, I've seen reviews of Olivia Wilde that compare her to, like, a modern Michelle Pfeiffer, where people think that because she's attractive that she can't actually act. And that when she gets a little bit older, they'll be like, oh, well, she's actually alright.
Really?
I think she was good in
that
beer movie.
She has very strong,
she has
like,
really wide jaw. A real wide back
yeah,
jaw.
Jawline.
Yeah, it's just very fierce.
Mm-hmm.
She was good on House.
What else has she been in? What's the bear movie called? Like Best
Drinking
Friend
Buddies.
Drinking Buddies.
We haven't seen it.
Yeah, I haven't seen that movie.
I haven't seen it.
Heard it's good.
It's
alright. Yeah. Alright, do we have anything else about third person? That was one that I was glad that we watched. I thought that that was an interesting curiosity if it wasn't completely successful. Like, at least it was...
Okay, so it was either that, or he had already sent for Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, we're doing that next.
I know, but he wanted that to be, like, he had suggested that, and then he, like just got the movie. And so, like, I put my stubborn foot down, and I was like, you're not telling me what I'm picking. We're picking that one that you also suggested, but it's not that one.
How did
a night on the couch feel, Strauss?
What's funny is that it sounds a lot tougher than she... But I want to watch the other one.
Yeah.
It's more like what
there's
the
no night on the couch. Unless I fall asleep because I've had too much wine.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's true.
Like, Valentine's Day, I worked for a stupid amount of hours and then came home and had one glass of wine and passed out on the couch.
Truth.
It was romantic.
That's super romantic.
Happy V-Day.
Okay, so our next film...
Server Life.
...is from August 15th. Both of these are from August 15th, as a matter of fact.
Oh, wow. Rachel.
This is Rachel's pick, and it is Magic in the Moonlight.
You are still the best in the world.
I need your help.
The plot thickens.
The Catledge family are socialites in the south of France. There's a woman who has them believing she's a spirit medium.
You are the greatest debunker of fake spiritualists.
She won't fool me.
Sophie looked into my eyes and told me things about me she could never have known.
I'm told she's very pleasant to look at.
She's a visionary and a vision.
I'm getting a mental impression. Are you from the Orient? Far East?
Considering you are Wailing Sue, that's pretty damn impressive.
You are a very clever little humbug.
I think you'll trick me into showing you how I deceive people.
Stanley doesn't believe in spiritualists. He thinks you're all scoundrels. She's quite likable, even if she is a fraud.
My mental impressions are cloudy.
Are they cumulus clouds or cirrus?
You're making fun of me.
Mr. Tavernier is rather obnoxious.
But he's not entirely unappealing.
I understand you're holding a seance tonight.
The planets are in alignment.
Now I will summon the unseen world.
Give us a sign.
The more I watch her, the more I'm stumped.
Could she be real? I'm beginning to question my own common sense.
You've always been so certain about the world, and I've always tried to teach you that we don't know.
Tell me something about my Aunt Vanessa's colourful past.
I see a member of Parliament.
Go on.
A love affair.
You cannot possibly know this.
I'm overwhelmed, Sophie. I never dreamed you could look this beautiful.
I believe that the dull reality of life is all there is, but you are proof that there's more. More mystery, more magic.
You're gonna die!
Run!
My aunt used to bring me here as a boy. The roof opens up, you can see the universe. It's menacing.
You find that menacing? I'd say it was pretty romantic.
Stanley is a magician who has dedicated his life to revealing fraudulent spiritualists. He plans to quickly uncover the truth behind celebrated spiritualist Sophie and her scheming mother. However, the more time he spends with her, you fuckers, he starts thinking that she might actually be able to communicate with the other world, but even worse, he might be falling in love with her.
Even worse?
Even
that's what
worse.
It says! IMDb.
Never lets you down.
You should start writing
You'll
your
never
own
regret
it.
No.
Because you can't make fun of them if you write them yourself.
Because yeah,
then you're just like, ah, that was a good one. And if it doesn't come off, you're like, ah, I got that one on IMDb.
Oh my god.
Rachel wrote that one.
He finally confesses that he's been writing them all along.
Yeah.
Yeah, who wrote this crap one? That was awful.
That's why I'm reading it. I'm trying to, like, add some legitimacy.
And then...
to where Rachel's not like, this is fucking bullshit. Just over here crushing my feelings. So, Cruz, this was your pick. This is a Woody Allen movie.
Yes.
This has your favorite, Mr. Colin Firth.
Oh my god, he's beautiful.
And it has Emma Stone in it.
His neck's a little old for me.
It's getting a little old.
Oh my god!
Oh, and a turkey neck.
Yeah, he's got a turkey neck. I don't give a shit. Anyway, sorry.
So what made you pick this one? It was because of the trailer from Only Lovers Left Alive?
Yeah, okay. Well, Colin Firth is in it, and Emma Stone.
Marcia Gay Harden, too.
Never, yeah.
Yes.
from the mist.
Selling point. Totally.
Dear God. I love Marcia Gay Harden.
I don't want to say I thought it would be fun. I thought it would be a fun movie. Because it had an interesting premise, and it seemed a little lighthearted. Obviously, no one was going to, like, stab somebody. You know, like, you knew what you were getting yourself into. And so I thought it would be a good pick for the movie.
All right. Defense made. So what did you think?
I was unimpressed.
Really?
Yeah.
Dang. Disagreement's going to be had.
Tough crowd. It wasn't, like... It was almost like Maleficent, where it was vanilla to the point of inoffensiveness, but also to the point where, like, I could give a shit less what happened by the time I got to the end.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't like, you know, like, it wasn't like I was watching Guy Pearce, where I wanted him to die, you know, immediately.
You weren't actively rooting for him to die.
Right. but, like, I don't know, like, all of the elements seem to be there, you know, mm-hmm. like... You know, him and her, and there's, like, a plot going on, and I don't know,
there's,
like,
the whole twists and turns.
Right, and they're, you know, in the 20s or whatever, and, like, mm-hmm. things that I would usually enjoy in
That's
a film.
That's why I'm surprised.
And there was just something, like, I don't know, some disconnect that I was just like,
Is it because you watched it with Katie?
We didn't watch it together.
Oh, is it because you didn't watch it with Katie?
Exactly. Oh, my God. Your feelings change when you do things with
exactly.
me. I know.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Interesting. So what did you think, little Cruz, when you're done with that drink?
Number two. I thought it was fine. It wasn't my favorite movie of all time.
Mm.
I liked the setting, the time frame, all of those things about it. And I'm a big fan of Woody Allen, but... I don't know, I feel like there should have been more drama in it. Like, I think the part that it sort of turned south for me was when he discovered that he was being, like, patsied, sort of, in the situation. And, it was a thing where, like, it didn't... I feel like there should have been more drama involved in it, because it didn't really seem like it. They had a conversation about it, he got upset and, like, stormed out, but then... He, like, forgave them immediately and then was like, I love you. And it was just sort of, like, it was a little too cliche for me that it was, like, a romance story that you kind of knew was going to happen, like, from the get-go. And,
what?
Really?
Okay.
But I think if there would have been more of, like, a plot twist, I mean, it was a twist, but if there would have been a lot more drama involved, I would have liked it probably a little
it,
more.
Because it, like, starts and it's, like, here, and then you're like, oh, he has to go find it, and it's, like, here, but then it just stays this plateau the whole time. Maybe maybe a dip up, but it's not, like...
Right. Well, and then, like, there was a part of me, like, when I was watching it that was, like, how is she actually doing all of this shit? Like, there has to be something, and I was, like, maybe she is, like,
well,
legit.
Well, we've been around Magic Joe a lot.
I know.
So.
I have seen some legit magic. But
he pulled a card out of his mouth. I watched it happen.
Yeah. Anyway, but I like. I just wish that his character, especially because his character was so like snarky and like realistic,
I did
and rational, and
I did like his character.
I liked
a lot.
His character a lot, but I feel like when he was so easily swayed when he turned like the spiritual route, like he. Too easily jumped into that.
It was like
that.
One night in the planetarium. And
right.
All of a sudden,
and everything is different. My life is different.
That's so funny too, cause like the car crashed, or the car gets stuck, and I'm like, oh, we just happened upon this giant, you know, like things are just so easily. Okay, sorry.
Yeah, but that's what she orchestrates.
Yeah, okay, you're right.
Because
you're right.
That's part of her convincing him.
Okay.
Right. Strauss, what did you think? Do you want to pass?
No. I watched this after it was a Friday night double. So, like, I worked all day. And then I came home and watched it. And he fell asleep, and I stayed up and watched it. And I wrote, Marcia is really good at... And then I didn't finish my sentence. And so later on when I looked back, I put ... drunk. Like, anyway, I remember the movie. So, the movie was... It was fun. I do agree that he fell into, like, oh, damsel, and she's great, and I'm going to believe everything that she's doing, even though her mother was always around. So yeah. Obviously it's about money. Yeah. Like, and he's a smart guy. He should have understood that in the first place.
Yeah.
But he just wants to get some kitty coo, and we all get that. So
everybody's been there.
Cougar wants some catnip.
Yeah. So, I mean, Emma was good in it. She was fun and cute and... Mm-hmm.
Should have actually like, lived in the 20s.
Yes, yeah. Seriously. Yeah,
right. Well, she says
really
one
good
of,
in the 20s.
She said one of her influences is Diane Keaton.
Yeah.
Woody Allen's.
Which is funny.
Former muse.
Yeah.
In a lot of his movies.
So it wasn't muses. Like I didn't muses. Have a good time watching it, but I didn't get a lot from it either.
Wow.
It was
see,
cute.
It, what's interesting is this is the I think this is the second movie in a row where I liked it the most.
Good.
What the fuck's going on?
Good like, for
I'm
you.
I'm supposed to be like the grouchy one,
are you
right?
On your period this week?
No, I'm off of my period. Is what it is.
Actually, yeah.
So what's funny is that
wait, what
I put that.
Anyway, sorry.
I put no. that. I asked at the beginning, right after he gets to Paris. In Paris or no, Italy,
Southern France,
whatever.
Oh. Wherever they were.
In a country vista Europe. Somewhere with sea in the,
Ireland.
In the distance.
It's beautiful.
They did film it in southern France where it was based. I looked that up.
Oh.
Because I was like, where is this? I need to be there.
Is the computer?
I need to get
it was not. Okay, Maleficent was computers. This was not computers.
This was
what are you,
a,
the fucking cops.
I am the fucking cops.
This is probably like an excuse to go on a vacation and also make a movie.
Right? Yeah.
Fair enough.
Oh, yes.
But
please.
Anyway,
I would do that.
So. Whoa, what did I do there? But I asked at the beginning when he first got there if Colin Firth was pretending to be me with an English accent. Because he was just the grouchiest fucker.
Oh, yeah. It is.
I agree.
And he was just like, oh, he doesn't know anything. I know everything.
Oh, this fucking guy.
Colin Firth
will
now play the part of Eric Williams.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He would be you.
This fucking guy.
What's up,
I'm going to show this guy what's up.
That is a really funny note.
That I wrote about myself.
Super true.
I wrote it about myself. Thanks no one else for adding that.
Yeah. Yeah, I figured you simpletons wouldn't have picked up
oh
on
my
it.
God.
So the other thing I put that I could sit and watch and listen to Woody Allen dialogue probably every day.
Yeah.
Just because it's got that sort of heightened sense of people are either really smart or really dumb,
mm-hmm,
and
yeah.
people that are really dumb don't ever know that they're really
right,
dumb.
Right, and the people that are really smart just capitalize on that
for sure.
all day.
Mm-hmm. And so what I think is interesting is
wait a minute.
I hear the complaints of it being like just a flat line and it being not dramatic enough.
It wasn't
like
complaints, it was just like
comments then, maybe. And it not being as dramatic like maybe Match Point was. Which is one of his more popular ones from a couple of years ago, Woody Allen, Up and Down. I think that it's just back to sort of what Woody Allen does. And he makes a lot of movies that are just kind of movies that just begin and end, and they're not world-changing, and they're not trying to say anything. They're not a writer trying to figure out himself, like maybe what third person was. It's just... Here's my story, here's the beginning, here's the end. That's it.
I think he sometimes just writes dialogue and then writes a story around dialogue.
I think so too. Like, I think he, like, thinks of, like, a clever joke and then turns that whole joke into one movie.
And just spreads out from there.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. So, I thought it was fun because it just reminded me of kind of, like, old-timey movies.
It did. Yeah. Like, especially since movies, like, nowadays can be... absolutely ridiculous. I do agree with that.
Well, but. I think we went Maleficent. I think we were doing, like, Maleficent, Boyhood, Magic in the Moonlight. So we have these big, like, huge scopes and productions,
yeah.
and then it was this very simple, very streamlined movie, and I was
right.
like, oh, okay.
Well, but, like, even still, like, Annie Hall...
Maybe I should have watched it at a different state of mind.
Maybe.
You know?
Annie Hall,
But that's,
like, falls into that category, but there's still, like, such a struggle with their relationship that it's, like, back
yeah.
and forth and back and forth. That there's, like, a lot of drama, but that's, like, sort of mundane drama going on,
mm-hmm.
at least. Whereas I feel like this was, like, way too easy all the way
almost,
along.
Like, yeah, like, fluffy.
Yeah, it was very...
Like, it was awfully cute.
Right. But I feel like I, in no way,
thought the acting was bad. I thought it was very well.
It was,
and yeah, and like I think that's really what made me at least get through it. And at the end of it, I was like, oh, that was okay. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't my favorite thing. The end part with the, if you can hear me, or would you ever, like, choose to be with me? And she does, like, the one knock. Mm-hmm. I thought that was cute, and it was a very, like, which is why I'm surprised you, like, liked this as much as you did. Because it's, like, a very, like, cliche, happy ending.
Sure.
I did like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is super funny.
Yeah, no, I think I like cliches as long as I'm not smacked in the face with it being, hey, here's a cliche.
Or in a good mood.
Or if it's from Woody Allen.
Yeah, if it's from Woody Allen.
So I watched this with Mom.
Just kidding.
And my mom, I wrote a quote from my mom on here. The dipshit is singing again with that goddamn ukulele.
That was bad.
That
though.
One quote explains a lot about our mother.
I know. That was really good. Yeah, he was bad. But necessary. That was adorable. Mm-hmm.
I was surprised that the mom wasn't in it more than she was. I was thinking Marcia Gay Harden was going to have some big, like, character reveal. And,
yeah, about how, like, shady she is. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Meh. Yeah, I figured she was going to come up with something. So that one's a little less, there's a little less there to talk about than the others. But I thought that was fun. It wasn't something that I would probably own, but it's, you know, worth a watch. People haven't seen it.
Sure.
All right, that brings us to our last movie. As I mentioned, it is also from August 15th. It is my pick, which is why it goes last. It's the important one.
Oh, aren't you special?
Yeah. It is Boyhood, the Oscar-nominated but did not win for Best Picture, Boyhood.
Life doesn't give you bumpers.
We have a new student joining us today.
Aiden, welcome to the suck.
Mom, haven't you been drinking?
A little bit.
Oh.
Hmm. Who do you want to be, Mason? What do you want to do?
So filmed over 12 years. God damn it. Filmed over 12 years with the same cast, Richard Linklater's Boyhood is a groundbreaking story of growing up as seen through the eyes of a child named Mason, who literally grows up on screen before our eyes. Starring Ethan Hawke and Patricia Arquette, Boyhood charts the rocky terrain of childhood like no other film has before. Snapshots of adolescence from road trips and family dinners to birthdays and graduations and all the moments in between become transcendent, set to a soundtrack spanning the years from Coldplay's Yellow to Arcade Fire's Deep Blue. Boyhood is both a nostalgic time capsule of the recent past and an ode to growing up and parenting.
Someone has a boner for this movie.
So that is the IMDb, not for me. Plot synopsis of Boyhood. I have several different logins, so it doesn't come up as from our employees.
Oh my God. Sassy pants.
Most of them are just anonymous.
Right, Eric, Margo, Silent T.
Yeah, mine's just Silent T at Gmail.
Gmail.
Okay, so this is Boyhood. I have the most notes for this one, of course I do.
So did I.
So did I.
I guess the long and short of it is I liked it and I thought that the achievement was great, but I didn't love it. And I was kind of surprised that I didn't love it because I was expecting this, oh, it's this epic story and it's Richard Linklater who's done the Before series and I love all of those and it's going to be something that I'm really going to just go crazy about. And I knew it was nominated for all these Oscars and it was the favorite, I think, to win Best Picture. And at the end of the day, like I was proud of the achievement and was like, wow, that's crazy that it went 12 years filming continuously. Ladies, you guys can see me after class. and so while I thought that it was good, okay, go. I didn't think that it was, I didn't think that it was earth shattering or anything like that. And I had quite a few problems with it, actually.
Yeah, I agree. Like, the premise is, like, legit.
It's so
like,
legit. Incredible. Guys, like, nobody's ever done something like that before.
Right, like, what if we did this? And someone's like, oh, my God. But, like, I feel like... I don't want to say that he failed because he did what he wanted to do. But I almost don't even know if you could make it any differently than what he did. Because... Mm. You can't do huge plot twists. I mean, like, you know, you can't do... I mean, it's basically not made for the story itself. It's just made for, like, now he can grow facial hair kind of a deal.
Now he's going to start smoking pot.
Right. And I did like the nostalgia stuff, like the baseball scene and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And, like, the, you know, how they took the songs right along with them. And, yeah, I get... The thing, I mean, like, the thing that didn't really resonate with me, maybe because I was a girl, but, like, not even. Like, I understand that they took this kid from, like, being adorable to being a, you know,
really gross, greasy kid.
Yeah. To being really awkward at points and then really, like, a...
Right, yeah. Like, really philosophic.
Oh, but, yeah. Remind me to talk about that.
But it didn't seem like... It didn't seem any more real to me than me watching a regular movie, I guess. Besides the fact that it's the same. Right. Kids. It's like the most, it's basically a movie with like the laziest casting ever on the planet.
Interesting. Well,
cause like I didn't feel like the scenes where he's like drinking with his friends. I was like, cool, this looks like a movie where a kid's drinking with his friends. So, I mean that part, to be shitty, didn't really matter to me at all. So.
Mm-hmm. I feel like, the mom was my favorite part of this movie. She, I feel like she did deserve the award that she got at the Oscars.
Over Tilda Swinton. Tilda. Two movies. Damn zero it. Nominations.
Twitchy bitch.
you sound like
twitchy bitch.
Who do you sound like?
Alright, keep calling KB.
Anyway, and like, to me, the premise of the movie wasn't so much as about the little boy growing up, but how much the adults changed throughout the entire of the movie as well.
Sure, Ethan Hawke.
Yeah, like, complete 180 of what he was doing, and then she, like, goes through a series of husbands, and I fucking called that crazy-ass professor beating her. Yeah. I literally wrote down...
He was a stupid...
This professor is going to start beating someone, and then I think fucking called it psycho dickhole.
I called it too, didn't I?
Yeah, as soon as he... Well, as soon as we see that he's hiding alcohol, you're like,
gonna... I said he's gonna beat somebody. He's gonna
alcohol doesn't necessarily mean you're a problem.
It's really? The hiding part, and then the aggressive attitude towards the kiddos.
Yes.
Oh, what a douche.
But, yeah, I think, like, for me, the best part of this movie was the mom. And, because, like, that sister went through the period of time when she's, like, 8, like, growing up, and just bad acting. Like, I couldn't even watch it. Like,
that's Richard Linklater's daughter, too.
Is it?
Yes, yeah. I read that, too.
Which is tough, because it's, like...
She's so awkward.
When she's little, it's like, oh, sweetie, just say the words, whatever.
Right.
And then she starts getting older and trying to act, but not really being able to. And
she's
it's like
Mom! I was like, shut.
It'd be like having Anna in there, and you're like, oh, I can't really tell you that you're terrible.
I know.
And you're pretty much locked in now.
Yeah, I know. So you
gotta finish it out.
You're just gonna have to do it.
And once she got a little older, it was better, but there was definitely the in-between stage, but.
Yeah.
I thought it was.
That awkward moment.
I thought it was fine. I really wanted to see this movie too. And Blake and I have been talking about it, like, we need to watch the movie, but he's gone all the time. So the one time that we
got to sit down and watch it. I rented it. He fell asleep.
Surprise. Yeah. I always fall asleep during
movie. I actually watched this before you picked it. It was like right after I had rented a movie for the previous podcast that we recorded. And then I was like, I'm just going to rent Boyhood because I want to watch it. And you picked it.
We did
the
same thing. Weirdo.
Holler.
Nice.
You were sounding like Schmidt.
Oh, okay.
All day, son.
All day. Yeah.
What do you have about this one, Strauss?
Oh, I love the mom.
Oh, yeah.
Because when she was yelling at the kids, I was like, Eric, I get it. Like, I've been a single mom for a little while, and sometimes you're just like, get your shit together, because it's only me, I'm mom and dad, I'm not going to be nice. So, just cooperate.
Yeah.
Like, there's no time.
Shut up, I want to sleep for another hour.
Oh, yeah,
seriously, though. Those are literally words that come out of my mouth.
If you can see her eyes.
Yeah, that still like, happens.
That's,
hey, I'm going to work.
Yeah,
you tell her that I'm sleeping.
God. Right. Oh, my God.
Eric, I just want to sleep.
Yeah, that's how it comes out. So
anyway, so yeah, I a few times told Eric, I was like, God, fucking right on, Mom. Mm-hmm. Like, I get it. I feel your pain. I loved the awkward stages of the little kids.
Did you?
Like, they were so awkward and weird and, oh, like, it was just like, oh, I remember being weird.
I
was never weird.
I'm sure you weren't. Liars.
Yeah, I was
just because everyone else in Oakland was also weird, though.
Let's see, I have so many, like, random little notes. Like, I liked how they fought as siblings. Like, that's how siblings fight.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I was a lot older than my little brothers, so I never fought with them, but I would watch them fight, mm-hmm. and so I could see their relationship fighting.
We like, never fought.
They would. I highly doubt that.
False. In so many ways.
I'm sure. Did you pull hair?
Hitting.
Hitting.
Yeah. Or just throwing, saying that you're just adopted like, and your parents are coming to get you.
Oh, it was the
bagpacking, sending on
we
your
told her
way.
Her real name was Sarah, mm-hmm. and she was adopted, and her real parents were coming to get her, and we legitimately packed a suitcase for her and put her outside and said, "Say bye, Sarah," and she would cry and say goodbye to us, and then we would shut the door and, like, just watch her cry?
Yeah. For the record, I'm not in therapy.
For the record, we did it like 4 times and you fell for it every time.
It was a little kid. It's like 4 or 5 years old.
It was Becca's idea.
Yeah, whatever.
Oh, man.
Blame it on the one that's not here.
You guys are
fine. Oh, so when the little boy got to like teenage age and he started it like being a busser.
Yeah.
He looks just like my oldest little brother, mm-hmm. Nolan.
Except with the long hair.
Nolan had long hair for a little while.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just those big lips that he had. He looked just like my little brother. And so, the stuff that they would do, like, when they eat the food off the plate, I put hashtag server life.
Oh, my God. It happens.
And that's exactly how they talk. There's going to be a 6-top, and I've got these fucking children over here, and there's, like...
We're drowning out there.
We're drowning. Like, we're drowning means, like, you can't keep up. Like,
yeah, this
there's
is,
too much shit to do.
This right? is the sort of dialogue that I had to learn.
Okay, so I can come in and be like, I had a 10-top. He's like, what the fuck does that mean? It's like, it's 10 people at a table.
Right.
It's a 10-top. And you walk around a corner and you say corner. Or you say
behind.
We do that when we're cooking at our house, though. Behind.
Yeah, I mean, it's smart. You don't want to step into a knife. It's...
I do.
Anyway.
I'll step into my knife 10 times.
So I thought that was fun.
Yeah.
He ran into my
knife. So anyway, it was a... I really enjoyed watching them transform, like, you know, as people.
Oh. Sorry. So,
Eric was saying that, what's the dad's name?
Ethan Hawke.
Ethan Hawke he's a lot better actor with, like, the kids that aren't good actors. Like, he's just, like, a good actor on his own.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I totally agree with that. And the mother had a little bit of a harder time interacting with them, but I liked her character. I liked her portrayal
mm-hmm.
of, like, what it is to be a single mom and...
And, like, better yourself and, like...
Yes. Yeah. That, I loved it.
That when that whole story, when she was talking to, like the Hispanic guy who was working on her house, and then he, like, came up to her, and I was like,
Oh, I know, like, education.
No. look at his face. I hated that part.
Okay, this is a good segue for Eric.
Okay,
go ahead.
So, I thought that the movie was progressing through this life, and it was just a beginning to an end. We weren't going to have a lot of the typical Hollywood things. Because we had this single mother who was bad at life, but was trying to educate herself. She was terrible at picking men.
Oh my god, yes.
So Ethan Hawke, it didn't work out. The professor and the army guy, right?
Oh,
so it doesn't work out. She can't pick men. She's, you know, just kind of like struggling to make ends meet, it seems like. Then when she gets a job, she's, you know, complaining about needing to sell the house, all that kind of stuff. So she just never seems really satisfied. And so I was like, okay, great. This is going to just be a movie where people, it's like real life and people are just progressing from one end to the other. And then we have this scene where it's just, it seemed like people that were actually working, you know, there and they were just filming them. And he's like, oh no, you need a new pipe or whatever. Okay, fine. And then he comes back and he has his little like awkward touching speech. And I just was like, Rachel Cruz style, rolling my eyes, like, come on.
I did not like, roll my eyes.
Like, you've got to insert this touchy-feely, like, oh, make you, you have to feel the feels, because here's the point where you need to feel something
well,
in this climactic
it's totally,
part.
It's totally I feel like it's real life, though.
And I feel like there, yeah, teachers commonly will say, like, there are teachers that I know that I've, that are friends that I've been friends with, or
take
that
notes, teach.
Have said things to the effect of, you know, like, a couple years ago, I had this student, and they were, like, really bad, or came from a rough situation, and I tried to help him along, or, like, maybe did, like, extra things to help this kid, and then this kid would come back and be like, thank you so much for all of the help that you did. And then I've heard that many times from just, like, my own accord, like, people telling me physically, and I feel like that was, like, a way to show her children that she's a good teacher. Cause they had that scene where he asked someone.
Yeah, is my mom,
is my mom a good teacher?
That girl did not give a shit about his mom in that scene,
no,
by the way.
She was
how's your penis?
I know.
Can I have it?
I know.
Do you want to go on a road trip?
And you would paint really well. Can I like fuck you?
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
But I feel like that was like the kids' way of having like their little, because they were asshole kids, kind of.
I know.
Like, they didn't care or, like, ask all the questions or, like, you know, she went through a lot of shit and they seemed like they didn't really care. And, like, it was that moment of them actually witnessing her, like, life that they don't see.
Right.
Where, like, she is a really good teacher and, like, you know, tries to inspire people and this kid saying that and they were both kind of like, oh, holy shit, Mom.
Well, and that was, like, when she was having a hard time.
Yeah.
And so, like, I don't know about you, negative Nancy, but, like, when I'm having a shitty time and something, like, some little moment of niceness comes along, which does happen mm-hmm. in real life, I'm like, oh, shit, that's nice. And so that's what I took away from it, is, like, she's on a fucking shitty day, and somehow, like, for like, 30 seconds of her shitty life, someone was like,
thank you
good on ya
for telling me to do this.
Hmm. Maybe I just didn't like the way that the non-professional actor delivered
possibly
the line.
Yeah. Maybe.
Because it made him seem like, it made him,
ooh, like he was fed the line sort
of. I was
going
to say, how do I want to say this?
He's like practicing like,
very
hey!
Racist.
Hey!
Because it seems like he,
careful.
It came off almost like he didn't know what he was saying. It was so bad to me. Mm. Because he was just like, oh, thank you very much. Oh, yes. Thank you for helping me. Just like, and I was like, what is this? Like, this is not how, like, say the words, guy. I was like, this is not how you say, this is not how you deliver this. Oh, I wasn't a Mexican. I can't do a Mexican accent. So.
I'm not going to. I was, no.
Okay.
It'd be Speedy Gonzalez, and that'd be even more offensive. So.
Right.
So anyway, that's what, I thought, that's what I thought about that. So I want to ask you guys about, so Anel had already referenced this earlier, but I do think that Ethan Hawke is completely believable in almost everything that he does.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that one of the things that he's able to do that I don't know, that maybe I just don't like Patricia Arquette, and that could be a thing.
Who is the mom. Okay.
Maybe I just don't like her. But I feel like he's able to connect with everything that he's in to where when I see her, I just see her line reading everything. Hey, don't do that, kid! Is what I see. I just watch her and I just don't ever feel anything when she delivers lines. Like, I just feel like she's always acting and she's not feeling anything.
I kind of agree with you.
So I don't get it. Like, I see people like so proud of her and like, oh, after all the great work she's done, and I'm like, really? Has she done that much work? Like, I've seen her in this and True Romance, and other than that, she's been god awful.
What was the one?
Like, her character was really awesome.
Stigmata, yeah, that was.
Yeah, but think about, like, think about some other fairly good actress playing that same character. It's not that she herself was the only one who could have made that work.
Yeah. Right. Do you think it also, let's say this movie was set, and I'm not trying to be weird, but, like, what if we put people, like, African Americans in this? And followed them for how long? 10 years? 12 years?
Yeah.
Same thing. Like, would that woman have won a supporting actress if she would have?
Kerry Washington or
you know,
the lady from The Help.
Yeah.
I love her.
See, it could like
I feel like
as a casting director, it could have been any actress who had some sort of chops could have won.
Do you think that it adds to the fact that she? Ooh, this is gonna come out bad again. Do you think it adds to the fact that she gained weight and sort of lost the way that she used to look?
I think the
Hollywood ideal.
I think so too.
I liked that.
I felt more comfortable of her as like a mom in that role.
Mom jeans.
Well, no,
she's wearing like the blazer and the.
But it's just like it came off that she was a normal. Goddamn human being, because like people have kids and get older, and she went through some crazy shit in her life, and so you like I think it would be unrealistic to expect whoever played that role to be
right
Hollywood thin the entire 12 years.
No, I totally agree with that. Well, and like Ethan Hawke has like weird baldingish hair.
Well, and he was like super trashy in the beginning. And
yeah,
he was,
God.
Yeah.
What's funny about that is they were talking about. In an interview with him about how he has two kids that since they were born, they've never known him to not be doing this movie.
Huh.
And I think about like 12 years, like, oh, that's a long time. A
slave.
Right.
Yeah.
You know,
Jesus,
I'm like,
Rachel.
I'm like,
that's a movie title.
Let's just race everything up here.
No, I was, okay, by the way, I was bringing that up because I saw like a little clip on how there's only been a handful of
African-American Oscar winners.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's why I brought it up.
Yeah.
It's because I watched that.
So it just makes me think, like, when I think of 12 years, I'm like, yeah, that's a long time or whatever, right? But when I think about someone that's 10 years old and he's been working on this project for their entire life, I'm like, holy shit.
Well, but it's not, like, all the time. Like, they only have
it's like so many minutes
scenes,
a year or something.
Maybe, that are filmed when they're, like, specific ages, so... And this is what I was talking to Terry about. Our Aunt Terry thought it was a documentary that literally filmed people for 12 years
now that
straight.
That is called the 7-Up series.
That's
which
a thing.
Is a British documentary which filmed them from when they were 7 to now they're 56. So every 7 years they release a new documentary. It's on, most of them are on Netflix, I believe.
That's interesting.
Nice. So 7-Up, just this group of you know, like kindergartners or whatever, first graders, and they interview them and
is
sort
of. Is one of them Cockney?
Well, they're British, so probably.
Well, one of them, I mean, they could be like.
and so you just have interviews with them, and I've seen up through the 20 or the 14 one. And so they are really awkward and don't really want to be there. Because when they're young, they're like, oh yeah, I'll answer the questions, and they're 14,
right.
And they're like, oh fuck, is this over? Yeah. You know, so, yeah. But yeah, that's up to 56 or whatever it is.
Yeah. But yeah. I think, like, for as little amount of scenes that they had per, like, time frame,
mm-hmm.
I feel like it is crazy to think about just because filming one movie over 12 years seems, you know, insane. But I feel like it would probably be like,
we're going to spend a week or maybe two filming this movie every either year or a few years is what it seemed like. Like, the jumps maybe would be like relatively large.
Right.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is really wild to think about.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so some of the other things that I had written down was the Patricia Arquette and the husband, the professor. He is not good.
He's terrible.
And I was like, wow, like why him? Because you can cast anyone. Because he's only there for one stretch.
Owed him a favor.
Yeah, so I was like, why this guy? Like, their interactions were just not... And it's not like it's, they aren't getting along, so it's bad. They're just not good.
Right, together. Like, they come back from their honeymoon, and you're like, oh, God, did they even...
Yeah. Well, but like I think for me at least,
is there fudging going on or not?
Yeah, right. Jesus, I think part of me thought that she sort of jumped into the relationship because he was a professor and he was smart and had kids and was
right. Just like instead your teacher of does not mean you're smart,
right? I guess
present company excluded.
But I feel like she jumped, like, that part of the storyline was her sort of seeing someone that supposedly had their shit together and deciding, like, this would be a really good move for my family and my kids, like, because that's something she would think about for every situation she got into, but she kind of saw that as, like, maybe I wouldn't, and maybe what I wouldn't normally go with this type of guy, but he was nice to me and he, you know, seemingly has everything together, so let's make this work. And then I don't think it was, like, love that necessarily brought them together, and that was pretty obvious by their interaction. So I don't know if it was that or just bad acting in general.
Were you so devastated?
Did you switch to wine secretly?
Don't worry about it. That happens.
I'm proud of you. Let's cheers.
Were you like, what are you doing when she did not bring those other kids with her?
Oh, exactly. Oh, now, when we were talking about this, about the Latino man
Randy,
who came back
and Rachel,
and said that he had ended up owning or managing the restaurant when we talked about that scene and about how that brought on the feels. The thing that made me feel the most in the movie was her leaving those two kids.
Oh, yeah. I was like, take them. Because they're just their faces were like, oh, my God, take me with you.
Because you know they got punched in the face as soon as she left.
Yeah.
And she's probably like, oh, I can't legally.
I mean, technically, she couldn't legally take those kids.
Right, no. But I don't give a shit.
She could have called the police right then and there, though, right?
Yeah.
Like,
something.
As she was leaving, saying.
I just thought that, like, for someone who has been advocating for her own children throughout the entire movie, like when she was, like, the first couple scenes when she was yelling at that boyfriend that came over and she was like, they're my kids. I'm fucking sorry. This is my life. I don't care what you say.
Yeah.
But, like, for somebody who was, like, so worried about her kids, and those kids had been her kids
for a while,
years.
Yeah.
She's like, fuck you guys. Like,
And you don't see them anymore, right?
Ever again.
So that's what the movie does, too. It's like, fuck you guys.
Yeah,
see ya.
Right.
Well, and that's like, ooh, that's...
She's married. I wonder if she didn't adopt them or what, because they're married.
Yeah.
So I was like, that for me was like, God, you're a bitch.
I mean, realistically...
That's what's hard, though, is like when you, if you were to get married, is like, when they're a little bit older and to have adoption, you have to have the other parent okay it.
The original
parent.
And we didn't know the story about her, right? Was she's...
No, there's no backstory.
And I mean, for the record, like, I've never been in that situation, so I'm not exactly sure how either I would have A, reacted to, or what I could get away with. Like, kidnapping someone else's kids, like, if that would be what it would be.
Yeah, but I feel like, and unless we're not going to get too much into it, but, like, you could argue your case. Be like, guess what? He was, like, beating people.
Right.
So I took everyone out of there, and, like...
Yeah, maybe they were too old to, like... have her.
Well, maybe she was just a bitch.
Okay, I'm gonna let you have your... Yeah. Just go for it.
Okay, so the next thing wanted to make sure that we discussed, this was a thing where Katie mentioned this earlier, the sort of, the very Richard Linklater scene where it's him driving around talking about what does it all mean and doing the before sunset, before sunrise.
Oh.
Right, where he's talking about politics and he's talking about, you know, do we, like, what are we and all that kind of stuff, right? That sort of thing that we see in those movies a lot. And that scene and the queso scene with his college girlfriend,
ugh,
where they're in the restaurant.
Yes. Oh,
yeah. I was
and
just,
they stay
was,
up all night.
Oh, I was cringing the whole time because I felt like I was watching Clerks, but they were being serious. Like, that they were really trying. And I was like, this is two non-professional actors really trying to go for it and do something, and it's not. And it's just falling completely flat on the ground.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I know that you're going to shoot me down, and I have had a few mules, so I'm going to just say it. Like... There is a type of, like, young romance that you get from, say, The Notebook, where, like, for the record, the entire movie, you have to agree that they're, like, better actors than these kids, and they actually, like, show feeling, and it comes off in a very different manner. But then they have this whole series of him being with this girl and being, like, we're going to be together forever and like, have this thing. And it's really awful. And it's so awkward. And it just like, does not have like the type of like loving feeling. Like when they broke up.
Have you ever seen Teenage Kids? That is how awkward it is. Have you ever like...
Where he's like, oh, and so this universe. And like,
what's up with this universe,
I love you so
girl?
Much. I've never loved anyone more than all the loves in my love
and
heart.
And I'm going to take like, all these amazing pictures of you.
They're super serious.
In my love heart.
We were just talking about this when we were, like, in high school. Like, I will never love anyone as much as I love this person. And you fucking have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, I know. I mean, I'm not saying that they're right. I'm just saying
well,
that...
Well, I mean, like, if they wanted to, like, show the super awkwardness
of teenagers... That's the point.
Even that being said, like, I still did not buy it. So, like, when he went through that period of him being really sad and depressed about losing her, I was like... I don't feel that sad about it because it seemed very awkward already between the two of you.
Yeah.
So I guess that's kind of like the Paul Haggis thing, right? Where we're talking about how if that's the point, that still doesn't mean that I enjoy it. Like
exactly.
You're writing about writing.
Oh my God, that should be my life story.
that's a really good book title. If that's the point, it doesn't mean I still enjoy it.
You should write that down. That's our new hashtag.
There it is.
That's a long
too long.
All right, no, but there's always a hashtag for our show. We have
to
think of
go
to
Pennsylvania.
One.
There's a thing that you say is always a hashtag. It's not actually in... Twitter as a hashtag.
I know that.
Okay.
I just speak one for the show.
I just speak one.
It's
so
not
anyway,
really a thing.
So I think that it's kind of the opposite of that whole David Mamet thing where he talks about people who are good at their job, like put those people on screen because it's enjoyable watching people who are good at what they do. So it's the opposite of that to where it's like, I don't give a shit if these people end up together. If they don't, this is uncomfortable to watch. And I don't like watching them. Okay, so the other thing is, now maybe this is me, but when I graduated high school, it was like, hey, way to go. You graduated high school. Good. That's what you're supposed to do. That was how graduating high school was. It wasn't a... Oh my God, you did it!
Thing, like...
Especially from a family where she's a college professor
right?
now.
Yeah.
So they're well versed in education and it's a big deal.
Yeah.
It shouldn't be this big surprise.
Sure.
And like this,
you like had the kids that
moment.
Graduated and their
oh,
families
like
would be in the crowd
it.
Like
it's,
screaming
yeah.
at them when they didn't even call because
one.
It was a big deal.
First
yeah.
one,
right? It's like he didn't seem to be doing that bad. Like
everyone around them though was acting like that though. They were really super excited about it.
Yeah, right. I don't remember my college graduation going that way at all.
Mom got drunk in the giant hot tub
cooler.
That we turned into a cooler and yelled, they all made it without getting knocked up.
She got into the hot tub that was full of beer. But it was a cold tub at that point. Regardless.
That's amazing.
I feel like that really had nothing to do with your graduation though. That was just mom.
In life.
Is that how I'm gonna be?
Oh yeah. Probably.
I feel like that's gotta be me.
I feel like I would have enjoyed this movie more if it was called Cruise Hood. And it was just
my God.
It would have been a lot more ridiculous, let me tell you.
Following the cruises for 12 years.
I just really, like, when I hear things about your mom and I see her at the tailgate with a bottle of wine just passed out after,
she
it's
was
like
napping. She was closing her eyes.
Okay, that's fine. I feel like that's gonna be me in 30 years.
Or tomorrow.
Well,
I might take a nap tomorrow. Later. Actually, no, we have parent-teacher conferences. I'll keep it together.
Yeah, and a dentist
until
appointment.
Until they're over.
And a dentist appointment until it's over.
Yeah. Could have a wine nap. It's a lot better than saying passing out.
A wap?
It's a...
Yeah, that's a Alright, so what else do we have? I feel like I've been trying to I get through my notes. So what else did anybody have written down for this
that
we
may have skipped over? What was the last thing that you were just talking about?
Talking about the college, the graduation, the high school graduation.
That was a big deal.
So, I feel like he hadn't done that many things that were so bad. Like, he hadn't, like, gone to treatment, or he hadn't, like, knocked a girl up, or he wasn't, like, addicted to really hard drugs, or, you know what I mean? Anything like that for them to be so surprised that he was graduating. Or maybe they were just trying to be like, hey, this is how graduation should be. Like, yay, it's super fun.
Well, what are
really, like, you just give a card with money, and...
I don't know. Like, I remember, you know, people weren't surprised that I graduated, but, like, I remember people being, like, super excited about it, and I was like...
So, sure, yeah, it's a milestone.
But, like, I feel like for him, it was almost like, because it was, you know, close to the end of the movie, and it was, like, the coming together of all the people in his life, and so they kind of just, like, made it.
Yeah, I did like that part. I like the crazy uncle.
Oh, the inappropriate uncle?
Of course.
Yeah.
There's always the inappropriate uncle. Oh, then my last note was, because it must have been his photography teacher or somebody like that.
Oh, that guy was hard truthing him.
Oh, okay. So, okay. That person, I liked him.
The gallery lady?
The gallery lady. She says, like, that he needed to find his people. And so at the end of the movie, when he's doing mushrooms and he's walking around in the...
No, it's hash brownies.
Whatever it is.
Get the pot brownies.
Whatever.
I was going to say, he did shrooms? How did I miss that?
He ate something.
Yeah.
He either ate mushrooms or he ate brownies. Yeah. Whatever. I went hardcore, sorry.
when he was eating meth and, like, walking around.
Eating meth. Ew, what?
Oh, my God.
It's like Jolly Rancher
style.
Can I have
one crack rock? One... Rock? One
Jeez.
Rock?
Okay, can I get back to what I was saying?
Yeah, sorry.
God, fuck you guys.
So anyway, with his people.
It was finally, he's like finally like a hippie love child, and he found his people. Because she says to him, you know, go have fun in college, find your people.
Mm-hmm. They're like at the Grand Canyon or wherever the hell they are.
Yeah, something like that. So they're yelling
James Franco
at
like had just lost his arm.
Yeah, I thought that when I saw that pistol. I was like, oh dang, they're gonna get there just in time. Hey guys!
One thing that I did write down, I think it was from, there's a very sort of mundane scene where they're out with the dad and they're at like the dad's wife's parents' house and they all sing that really weird song together.
Oh, that was weird.
And they're like out like skipping rocks.
Like, oh, yeah, and then Nell's like, dang, he's legit. Nell's like, he's legit at skipping rocks. Like, he's so good.
Oh, God, and I am horrible.
That kid is, like, taking photos, and the sister says, you're such a stick in the mud. And at the end of it, I literally wrote, he is a stick in the mud. He is one of the most boring, mundane people of all time. Like, all of the things that he went through, I watched him grow up in this movie, and I was not impressed with your life.
Yeah.
Sorry to be harsh.
It is the sort of film where you watch it and you get over the achievement after the initial watch, right? And you think back on it and you're like, well, what was it?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, it's a chronicle of this character, this person, this actor's life, but great. Okay.
Good times.
And? Yeah. Like, and?
Right.
You know, like, I can watch a documentary for that sort of same experience.
Yeah.
Do you think they, like, finish it and they're like, we should have, like, added some plot points?
Right?
I don't know.
They're, like, in the making of Boyhood 2 right now, and they're like, okay, we're gonna need a dragon?
Oh, my God!
Maybe Linklater was like, Maleficent? Guys.
Did you say that he put a tweet out or something after Birdman 1? No. Okay. Just teasing. Somebody had said, like, well, maybe we should film for 25 years.
Yeah, there was a joke that someone had said, yeah, apparently Boyhood needs to film for 25 years.
Okay.
I feel like that would be interesting. Right, I'd be kind of
interested.
Did you
about...
see Before Sunrise and Before Sunset?
No.
Oh,
you didn't see any of them?
Wow, those are...
Christ almighty, guys!
It's Ethan Hawke and him doing the what does it all mean speech instead
but
of...
But he's a good actor, and he's with,
with
a
Julie
girl
Delpy.
That's a good actor, too.
And then they do it years later.
Spoilers.
In like another movie.
Okay. Oh, they also do it.
But they are doing
before
it.
Before Sunrise.
Because they meet each other on a train, and then they, like, walk around in, like, young love and, like, have these,
before
like, adorable
Sunrise,
little talks.
Actual
to...
movies that I shouldn't go see.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have them.
Rent.
They're
yeah.
good.
Rent from Eric Williams. And then there's another one called Before Sunset.
Before Sunrise, Before Sunset.
And
then
last
one
year just
came out Before Midnight.
Before Midnight.
So they
and
actually...
three people.
The same guy
they,
that did
yeah.
this movie.
Yeah.
And Ethan
they
Hawke.
They age,
Hawke,
you know, and then...
Sure.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's about their relationship and...
And the last one, they're married.
No, I haven't seen it, so don't. Sorry.
God.
It's on my DVR, and I did not mean to yell that loudly at you.
You didn't yell. It's okay.
The chair throwing thing, though, was unnecessary.
You can, like, take up your drink now. Like, sheesh. I don't have to spill it.
But, yeah, so it's basically all of these ideas that Richard Linklater is doing and
anyway,
going
it was
through,
great.
But it's done well. Like, it's done
it's
professionally
like,
with
I watch it, and I was like, Eric's made me watch a stupid-ass movie, because sometimes I say that out loud when I put movies in that Eric thinks about.
I say that, too.
Yeah.
What are we watching?
I never
time?
Say that. I'm like, oh, damn, I'm smart. This is so good.
Oh, really?
Really?
Yeah.
Snowpiercer?
Oh, Cruise is making me watch Victor Victoria.
I love that movie.
It was so good.
But, like, I was watching it, and, like, I'm watching the beginning, and I'm trying to harumph, like, my way through the first, like, 5 minutes, and I'm like...
Because it's a rom-com.
I love rom-coms.
But I'm like, but I, like, get into it, I'm like, oh, don't.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you would really like them.
I should watch them.
Yeah.
They're
really good.
Pretty easy to find.
That was something we first started talking about, and he was like, have you seen this? Yeah. Liked it.
P.S. When you called us out for after class, it's this Instagram photo I found of the mom from Boyhood giving her speech and Jared Leto in the background.
Oh, Jesus.
It's Jesus.
Rare photo of Jesus blessing Patricia Arquette during her accepted speech.
That's
like,
where you called
focus.
Us out and told
yes,
us to
because
stop class.
Because, yeah, Jesus
He's
is
like,
still
I
watching
forgive
her.
You.
He's like, are you fucking kidding me? You're supposed to just go away, and now I gotta
in
be
the
in public.
Are we allowed to talk about Birdman winning, or is that not a part
sure.
of this?
Sure. You can talk about Birdman. Have you guys seen it?
Uh-uh.
Oh,
we went.
Damn it.
We went and saw it
so
at the Ross.
You spoil it for me.
I have every intention to watch all of the movies that were on the Oscars that I hadn't seen, which were all of them except Boyhood.
Okay, so Alejandro Gonzalez Iñárritu, who's the director of...
You just wanted to say that.
I know. I liked how he looked at me. He's like, and I know this name.
Who's the director of Birdman, also did 21 Grams. Has anyone seen that?
I saw 21 Jump Street.
Not the same?
I saw 22 Jump Street,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah, me too.
You guys remember that when we saw those? So, that is a very, very depressing movie with Sean Penn and Naomi Watts and Benicio
Del
Toro. It is not about drugs.
Let me guess, Benicio Del Toro is disgusting in it because that's his
yes,
type.
He is.
So gross.
It is about when you die, the theory was that
your
every
soul.
Body would lose 21 grams.
Oh my God, I listened to a podcast about that.
I did a podcast on that a long time
really?
Ago.
I don't think it was you that I listened to.
Did
this.
You see her eyes like glimmer for a second? She's like, what?
Well,
so,
it wasn't you.
It was, it was really good, but very sad and depressing. And he also did a movie called Amores Perros, which is also, like,
I love
in,
dogs.
In chunks, Love is a Bitch.
Perros?
Mm-hmm. In that
Perro,
in that
with
frame.
Two R's, is,
Perros.
Perros.
Are you sure it was an O?
Amores. Love is a Bitch is the rough translation.
Let's talk about our rough Spanish together.
So anyway.
Anyway, why are we
rough?
Why
are
we like
Are you FF? So, anyway, he made those two films. They're both sort of almost like Paul Haggis style, where it's segments, right?
Like Memento.
Kind of like Memento. And so then he makes Birdman,
Which we shouldn't say too much about.
And we won't say,
I thought they had seen it.
Yeah, we won't say much about it. But it's not filmed like that. It's not depressing and heavy.
It's a little heavy, but it's not depressing.
It is...
Michael Crichton, right?
Michael Keaton.
Michael Crichton wrote like...
Michael, like... the Jurassic Park author is starring now.
I am sorry. I have my own bartender in my portfolio. And I have a solid amount of these.
Yeah, it's fine.
But is there any left?
Is Michael Crichton?
Yeah, do you want Crichton?
I love one.
I love Michael Crichton.
Do you want more of that or wine?
What kind? Yeah,
so anyway,
Birdman to write that third Jurassic Park movie.
Okay. Jurassic World. He's been busy.
Whatever. Fuck off, guys.
So
my pants.
It's okay. She's only had six shots of vodka. It's fine.
All right. So anyway,
I'm not flushing the toilet for you tonight.
It's Michael Keaton. It's Michael Keaton, and he is he's a washed up action star.
Used to play superhero, right?
Right.
Right.
He used to play Birdman, and now he's on the stage in New York. And he's trying to make it as, like, a real actor. And so it's him, Edward Norton, Emma Stone.
Oh, and... I know Emma Stone was in that shit. Oh, I did see her walk up on stage with that back and stuff.
Right? We're like,
it.
She didn't have a dress on.
Yeah, okay.
And so it is basically...
It's fun. I just did... If you guys didn't... We don't need to talk about it.
Yeah, and then, and the main thing about it is it's... The technique of it is... It makes it look like it's all one shot.
Oh, cool.
Like, the entire movie.
So, like, no scene cuts?
There's not many. There's a couple where, like, someone will walk in front, and you're like, oh, that's clearly a cut. You know, to where the screen's blank.
No, but there's time where there won't be...
Yeah, there are very long takes, for sure.
Yeah, and it's really fucking good.
Yeah.
Really good.
Now, that being said, I'd heard, like Boyhood, I'd heard a lot about it, and walked out of it going...
Yeah, when we walked out, we were just like, all right, where are we going for dinner?
Like, yeah, like, that was good.
Yeah, so, I mean, but it was good. I mean, it was...
No. You're selling it. Candy and Rachel would ruin this movie for us.
But so I wasn't blown away by it. But it was good.
What are you talking about, Rachel?
So, that is... That is all of our movies, kids.
You're gonna love it.
Right, Strauss? You paying attention over there?
No. You student teacher.
Yo, teach!
That is all of our films.
Fuck off.
Let's rank these four. Strauss, since you're the chatty one over there, why don't you read this passage here for me?
No way.
Why don't you go first? What are what are your rankings of Maleficent, Third Person, Magic in the Moonlight, and Boyhood? Ooh. How would you rank those?
Oh, God. Can I even remember them?
There's only four, dear.
Let's go with, Boyhood.
Boyhood, your favorite.
Magic in the Moonlight and Third Person are... I like them for different reasons, so they're like a tie at second, and then Maleficent.
Alright. Rachel Cruz. Zelig.
Zelig.
I like saying it Zelig.
Sizlag. Okay, I would pick, going by least favorite, I can't remember them.
Maleficent, Third Person, Magic in the Moonlight,
okay. So
and Boyhood.
Third Person is fourth, because I just, like, I get it, but I didn't want to have to get it, and so, like, that's why. And then I would say Maleficent, and then I would say Magic in the Moonlight, and then Boyhood, I guess.
Really? Okay.
Boyhood's your number one?
With a pretty mediocre review of Boyhood gets number one from Cruz.
Did you hear me, like, rant and rave wonderfully about any of these films?
No, that's funny.
That's
because...
why there were ones I missed, because I didn't run to the theater to see them.
Okay,
obviously
one
for a reason.
Quick thing I just remembered about Boyhood, about the mom. When the girl has to switch schools after they get out of their abusive relationship with the alcoholic father, and she's like, I'm wearing the same clothes, and like, I don't even have anything. And she's like, get your fucking shit together. Like, we're doing this as a family. Like, I loved that part when she was, like, yelling at her daughter.
I just left a physically abusive man for us to figure our shit out. Go to school.
Well, I mean, yeah, that moment was just good. Like, hey, at least we're not being abused anymore.
Right, right.
Like,
perspective.
Get out of yourself for a second. Because I remember being that way.
I was going to say, that's what... 6th and 7th graders.
I remember being that way, though. And my mom never spoke to me that way, so I just was like, oh I'm going to always be like, whatever. And
oh, man, we did not have that conversation.
I will be like that with Anna, and I am now, so.
This is going to be really heartbreaking for me.
All right, here it is.
Do you say heartbreaking or hard ranking?
Hard.
I thought it was hard ranking.
Hard ranking.
Hard ranking.
That's what I said.
Hard drinking?
Maybe both.
She's doing fine. She's on vacation.
That's right. To the most exotic area. God, I don't know. Number one.
Is Maleficent. Just say it. It's fine.
I want to say Maleficent.
I also want you to say it.
Maleficent. Waiting with bated breath.
Okay, I'm going to say Maleficent. And then I'm going to say Boyhood, Magic in the Moonlight, and then Third Person. I don't even know if that's
how
I want
it. Let's see, Eric's rankings
I might tweet
are...
later that I switch my...
here we go, Rachel's predicting.
Eric's rankings are Maleficent is...
I don't think we're friends on anything.
Fourth.
Okay,
media. Right?
We'll make that happen.
Maleficent's your last. And then probably Third Person.
Mm-hmm.
And then Magic in the Moonlight, and then Boyhood.
Ooh, she was close. I liked Magic in the Moonlight the best.
You're such a girl.
Aww.
And then,
that was so
it's because
surprising.
You're in love with me. Then, you're such a nice guy now.
And then Boyhood would be second, and then Third Person, and then...
Oh, I was close, but no cigar.
Yeah. Yeah, I did not realize that your because love he for was that like, movie. I relate to Colin Firth so much.
It's just because I saw myself on screen with his attitude.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
I watch Kingsman, it's the same movie.
I'm going to wrap the shit show up.
Yeah, that's probably for the best.
So...
It's a good show.
A good shit show?
It's a shit show.
Yeah, if you have any comments for the show, or movies that you'd like to hear us talk about, we did just get a recent email that I'll have to tell you about in a second. You can email us at plainlabelpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow the show over at Twitter under the handle @plainlabelpod, or you can follow me. I'm @EricWilliam79, and Rachel is @LadyZlag. Anel is @AnelElizabeth, which is A-N-E-L-L-E.
You have like a funny Twitter name.
Elizabeth.
That's too original.
And Katie is over @cat_akisms.
It should be the cat ranch
for me. The cat ranch. We also have a Facebook page where you can like the show. Just search for Plain Label Podcast. And if you wanted to help us out a little bit, you could head over to Amazon.com and search for our wish list. It will not have any of these four movies. No. It is full of the movies that
not.
We want.
It's just booze.
Equipment that we need and a whole host of other goodies if you're in the giving mood. Just search for the wish list called Plain Label Podcast. So thank you for listening. Goodbye to these two, and we'll be back in 2 weeks with our new theme.
Bye!
did you see that other movie that, the...
Cut the stars. tried. For you I bleed myself dry. All the things that you